read something that sort of help you deal with it. And then there's this information there that's not necessarily about the photograph, but it is relevant, and people will read it. Over 60% of the viewers gave ratings of 4 to Fossilis that increased their understanding a great deal. For the extent to which that increased their impact, that the war's impact, their understanding on these things, civilian deaths, the healthcare system, the natural environment, physical infrastructure, nutrition, women's and children's health. The areas that are left off are the ones about U.S. troops and the U.S. economy. So I guess people felt like they were getting more of that in the mainstream media. And then when we looked at the differences between the two venues, we found more viewers at the college reported that they were in the health profession. Obviously, we're on a medical campus. That was not surprising. And more of the viewers at Philander Smith showed that they had a significantly higher rating for increasing their understanding about these issues. There were no significant differences, this was interesting to me, between the health and non-health viewers regarding the extent to which they reported that it expanded their understanding. And I was going to just tell you a little bit briefly before I close about the open-ended responses. Just in general, I would say about 95% of them were positive or supported. There were about 5% of the people who wrote responses in that said that they felt like it was a biased, one-sided view. And of course, the other 95% were saying, this is a view that we never see in the mainstream media. Thank you for bringing this here. This is very moving. And the other big thing that we got out of the responses was there's a lot of emotion, a lot of sort of people expressed anger, sadness, frustration, confusion, and also just being glad that we had brought the exhibit to Arkansas. So I hope that all of you can see it. It's at the AFL-CIO headquarters. Here's the address, and it's showing through 7 o'clock Thursday. Thank you.
Vietnam also has a 6-month rainy season. So that sin may be washed out from the land, except for the hot spot. And for the exposed people, the human tissues of exposed people still contain many dioxin at a very high level, sometimes at 100 and or more picograms of dioxin in their body. And more dangerous, the human breast milk also contains some level of dioxin. And so the children, the babies born from the exposed mothers can be indirectly exposed to the Asian Orange and dioxin. And you know that, dioxin or TCDD can cause changes of DNA, so that it can change the genes in the human cells, so that it can, its effects can be transmitted over many generations. So it can cause also, when it changes gene, it can cause birth defects and cancers through our many generations. And the U.S., the U.S. veterans are also suffering from many cancers and many birth defects. Also, the victims in Vietnam, they are suffering from many cancer kinds of cancer diseases and defects. And you also know that last year, the Veteran Administration in the U.S. has paid up to $1.5 billion for the hospital fees of the U.S. veterans and their offspring because of their diseases and cancers and defects caused by Agent Orange and dioxin. But it is not adequate, I know. And in Vietnam, how are the exposed people now? The exposed people who have cancers have been dying day by day without adequate treatment because they are poor. They cannot go abroad to get treatment. And in Vietnam is still a poor country. We lack of sufficient facilities for an efficient, the efficacious treatment for those diseases. So I think that all of us hope that the chemical companies should recognize their responsibility. So I would like to appeal you to join us to make pressure on the chemical companies to recognize their responsibility and to compensate to the victims of Agent Orange and dioxin. Thank you.
We have a little couple paragraphs about Agent Orange in the Peace Caucus handout, but I did want to mention that should you be interested in having Dr. Fong speak at in a group or a college, we have the information in the newsletter. Any questions or comments or discussion? There's one thing I wanted to say that Dr. Briggs made me think about in a talk I was preparing a while back about landmines. One of the things that came up that was so shocking was the moment when people decided it was better not to kill someone, but rather to injure them. If you kill them, they're gone. But if you injure them, then you now have to take, it's going to cost however many people to help that person get to wherever they can get to be safe. And so another example of the horrors of war and the lasting results of landmines. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Or can this be shown at multiple sites?
other comments? Any questions? Yes. That's where I think you're absolutely right, of course, but I think that's where the Peace Caucus and some of the other caucuses and sessions really do contribute by making sure that there are there's legislation passed and that we can have our voice be heard. And the more that we all can be involved in those kinds of policy changes and forcing our as a group for us to recognize our role as public health workers in preventing the military here in the exhibit hall, for example, or and the responsibility of weapons manufacturers, where we as public health workers have to also address that. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Yes. Again, not that we haven't hyped it enough, but don't forget about this show at the AFL-CIO. It really is spectacular. And Patrice, I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, there's plenty of time.
Just repeat the questions, ask it in the same line with the last question, sort of what the direction of the research is and how it's going to be applied. It's quite explicit that the next bit of field research is going to be submitted as a policy brief. The research publications are actually supposed to come after that. So it's originally meant to be directly for policymakers. And the framework that I'm coming up with to describe these issues, because we have to have some sort of theoretical background for it. As I mentioned, that's being presented later this month in Budapest to a NATO Advanced Research Workshop, which is really just it's a collection of NATO parliamentarians, ministers, and so forth, which I'm a bit nervous about because I realize the venue is in the Hungarian parliament. People are listening. I've received a lot of support from the WHO, the European Commission, specifically the Directorate B, which is responsible for enlargement, which is currently controlled by the Finnish government, and other interested groups. They've been very supportive of this sort of work because they would really like to see a country like Bosnia-Herzegovina sort of, really join the European Union or the European community. But they're just afraid about, how do we do this without really breaking it? And it's a very fragile state. It's divided right now between the Federation, which is a Muslim-held area, and the Republika Srpska, which is Serbian-held areas, which have parallel governments, and they don't really talk to one another. The harmonization of regulations is extremely difficult. There's almost no monitoring of issues. It's a very difficult place to actually get anything done. But we're trying.
Thank you.